Fairly enough, we're going to go to Deuteronomy. I don't know if you guys have ever read the book of Deuteronomy.
But we're going to go ahead and go to Deuteronomy here and turn to Deuteronomy 17. And we're just going to look at a great characteristic of a godly man in Deuteronomy 17. We're going to be jumping around a little bit, but this is going to kind of be our main passage for tonight. Everyone doing all right? Everyone's got places to sit. Michael, you got a place to sit?
Yeah,
you're sitting? Okay, I can't tell. Okay. Sedek, you got a place to sit? Oh, okay. You brought yours? Okay. All right. I love that Sedek can joke about stuff like that. So, all right. Heinrich, your hair is getting big, man. So Deuteronomy 17, starting in verse 14. Let's go ahead and read there. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, and have taken possession of it, and settle in it, and you say, let us set a king over us like all the nations around us, be sure to appoint over you the king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your own brothers. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not a brother Israelite. The king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses, for he himself, or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them. For the Lord has told you, you are not to go back that way again. We must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the priests who are Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God, and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. So this is kind of a characteristic of a king, is what Moses is talking about here with Israel and them desiring a king. But something I really wanted to talk to you about, my first point is we need to protect ourselves. But we need to protect ourselves by loving the Word of God. Loving the Word of God. So if we continue in Deuteronomy 18, and we start in verse 14 there, and we'll read here for a little bit. The nations you will dispose of, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him, for this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I commanded him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when the message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, do not be afraid of him. And so when you look at kings and when you look at prophets and you look at these two passages, you see the prophet, the king is called to write down the scroll and copy the laws, but the prophet is the one speaking the word of God. The prophet is the one that knows the word of God, that says the word of God out of his mouth. And you think about that, that is someone who loves the word of God, that actually verbalizes it. You can write down the word of God, but if there's no verbalization, does that, you know, maybe you love it, but you don't love it enough to share it and talk about it. It's not the type of love that we need to have when we're on our own, when we go our separate places, when we go on vacation or holiday. But this text is based on what a prophet should do. So what does a prophet do? Well, a prophet listens to God. A prophet is a spokesman of God. He does not own the people. The prophet is a shepherd. He's to be a spokesman and a shepherd. His accountability was to God and not to anyone else. If he spoke a false message, he was put to death. He was not given he was not given an option on this. And he was not given his own opinion either. He was to be a messenger for the word of God. And I think We all need to look at ourselves as prophets. We need to look at ourselves as men of God. That especially when we're on our own, are we verbalizing? Are we taking in the message and being spokesmen of it? Are we listening to the Word of God? The only way we're going to speak it is if we listen to it. So we need in our hearts to be prophets, not kings. There's only one king, and amen, we all know who that one king is, and that one king is Jesus. But we are to be spokesmen for the king. We are to be spokesmen for Jesus. We're supposed to be spokesmen for God. If we go to Matthew 24, you with me, Sedek? So Matthew 24, starting in verse 44. It reads, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time,' and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You know, there's a role that we've been entrusted with. It's the role of a faithful and trusted servant. We are servants that we can't slack off, but when we're on holiday, that's the temptation. Right, to slack off. I'm gonna absorb a little more Facebook, and I'm gonna absorb that new board game I got, and I'm gonna absorb all these new books I got that I'm gonna read. I'm gonna absorb all these video games, and I'm gonna absorb sleep, and just take in a lot of sleep and a lot of slumber and a lot of food. Because when we all come back, we're all gonna gain 10 pounds. But the thing is the master is never gone. And the master's never gone, and as Christians, the master should never be gone from us. So when we go on our breaks, and when we do our things, and when we go on holiday, when I go to Paris, when David goes to Tanzania, we got to be men that stay in the Word and be spokesmen for God. We can't get complacent, because the King is still King in our lives. But man, when we are in these situations in our life, is the King really our King? Are we showing lives and living lives where He is King? We're not to get proud or complacent or maybe even overconfident, because what happens is we get a lack of urgency. We get a lack of urgency of, let me love the Word, let me listen to the Word, let me share the Word. We get overconfident. Look at what I did for the fall. I have read my Bible every day. It's time for me to take a little breather. I don't know about you, but Jesus doesn't take a breather. And if Jesus is our Lord, we need to follow our Lord. And so I think we can't take advantage of the holidays. We can't take advantage of other servants either. As in this passage in Matthew 24, the one servant's taking advantage of others. But we need to be able to protect ourselves. We need to be able to protect ourselves spiritually. We need to be able to protect ourselves and stand firm in the truth. So some good questions I thought of are, how have I grown complacent, or have I lost my sense of urgency? Maybe are you overconfident? Man, I read the whole Bible in the last 3 months. Man, I've read every day for an hour. Look how good I'm doing. I pray. I am very, very strong Christian. I am not going to fall. All right, do we get overconfident? You know, 1 Corinthians 10 says, be careful when you think you are standing firm. And I think as we're all together, it's easy to stand firm. We have each other to lean on. We have each other to confess to. We have each other to pray with. We have each other to fellowship with. But when we aren't around each other, when we go our separate ways and we go to different places, are we going to stand firm? And are we going to be careful to stand firm? And a good way to be careful in standing firm is to get in your Word, to use Facebook as a way of fellowship. You can chat on Facebook. You can send videos on Facebook. You can You can do lots of different things to stay in touch. Skype is a great way. Even on your phones now, you've got little ways that, to keep in touch and chat with people. Make sure you have fellowship. So I think a big question, too, is because of being overconfident or just kind of getting complacent, who's really become king when you get that way? Or, you know, where's your passion for the Lord? Where's your diligent servanthood? Because Christianity isn't about being a Christian here and there. It's about being diligent. It's about being careful to stay close to God. So how do we retain our zeal for the battle? When we get out of our mission fields, when we get out of our places where we're really going after living for God, sometimes we lose mindset of the battle, that there is a battle going on, and so we lose zeal for that battle. So we've got to retain our zeal for the battle. So what dangers might corrupt you? What things cause corruption in your life? A prophet is in danger of corruption, and a king is in danger of corruption. When corruption comes, we can lose our zeal for the battle. The command given is that a king should not have a large number of horses. It says in Deuteronomy 17:16. What is that all about? Why can't a king have a large number of horses? But think about hobbies. We spend a large amount of time in our hobbies. We spend a lot amount of time in the things we do. Horses, hobbies, riches, maybe power, maybe manly pursuits. These are things that we can pursue, and when we're kind of in our own elements, maybe our hobbies start to take over our lives. Maybe our hobbies start to become our kings. Let's turn to Jeremiah 42. I hear you, Michael. I hear you. Jeremiah 42, verse 18. It says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. As my anger and wrath have been poured out on those who lived in Jerusalem, so will my wrath be poured out on you when you go to Egypt. You will be an object of cursing and horror, of condemnation and reproach. You will never see this place again." The danger of hobbies. Egypt. There's horses there. There's things that Israel liked about Egypt for some reason, even though they were slaves. But there's hobbies that we can become slaves to. There's things in our past, before we are Christians, that can overtake us, that can cause us to be misdirected. And so, but man, look at what Jeremiah says here about going back to the things we had. You'll be an object of cursing and horror. We're saying, no, this life that I used to have is better than what I'm giving now. Let me absorb my old life instead of, man, God is king, and I'm so, so thankful. But these are all temptations. These are all ways that we can be corrupted when it's the holidays, when we want to take a little breather, take a little break. But Christianity isn't about that. Being a disciple is not about taking a break. It's not about taking time off. Jeremiah 42:18, "Wrath will be poured out if they go back to Egypt. But do I find myself wanting to go back to the ways of the world, wanting to go back to slavery, wanting to decrease my prayer time, wanting to decrease my fellowship with the brothers, wanting to decrease my convictions and not listening to the Word of God?" Not, you know, some of you maybe when we go different places, maybe we won't be too close to a church, but how about making that effort? I'll go the 2 hours to just get some fellowship and to get refreshed, to hear the Word of God. That is radical. That is being set apart. That is not letting holiday affect you. But man, I'm going to make every effort. That is a heart after God. I don't care where I am or how far I am, but I'm going to make sure that I get these things in my life. You know, maybe another way is that we've been corrupted is we kind of lose our edge. You know, the disciples have an edge. There's something about them that makes them stand out. It's not a, like, whoa, what's wrong with this guy? He's got lots of caffeine in him or something like that. No, but there's this edge about them. There's purpose. They're, They're going, they have a focus. And when people have focus and they have purpose, there's a little edge to them. It's like, what? Hello? What are you paying attention to? Hello? You wanna do something? Yeah, I'm doing something right now. I gotta focus on this. This is what I'm going after. But do we lose our edge? So, I also want to kind of warn about the challenge of lust in our lives. Lust, and I'm not talking lust for women. I'm talking lust for the world, lust for vanity, lust for being cool, lust for, we go home, we have our old friends. Man, I want to fit in. I was reading my Bible this morning. Do you know I read my Bible every day? Like, do you stand out? But do we lust to have that world back in our life? Do we desire that? So that is a warning of corruption. When we have those things on our heart, we don't want our hearts to get corrupted. So we have any of these feelings, we have any of these thoughts, we got to be open. We need to get help. We need to get direction. But we need to be radical about our times on the holiday and what we do and how we go about doing things. So how might we be losing our edge, our distinctiveness? How might we be doing that? Well, what things come in the way of you and God? You know, hobbies. What things do you put first before your quiet times? Oh man, the game was on last night. I want to watch it. I've got all day. I can have my quiet time later. I don't have any schoolwork. I want to watch that movie I've been wanting to watch. You know, what comes before your quiet times? Where's that love for the Word to listen to it? What temptations do you have to put things first before meeting with the body? You know, are you open about these temptations in your life? I've been having a lot of conversations with brothers that they're open, but they're open after the fact that sin has occurred. But are they open at the temptation level? That's a great thing. Like, be on guard, be alert, be alarmed, be open. Hey, I'm being tempted. I feel like Satan is trying to corrupt me. And I've gone home. I've gone home for 9 years as a disciple. And even though that when I go home, it's not even the home I was raised in, my natural, the way I lived at home with my parents and everything, it wants to come back. It's just there. Those demons are there. It wants to take over my life of let me just kind of settle in and just do what I want to do. So, another question is, what things do you put first before meeting with the body? You know, I said, what things do you put first before your quiet times? But, amen. You know, that's the great thing about our fellowship is there are places to go. There's ways where we can meet up with people and get some fellowship and get and just hear the Word of God and hear the truth and be challenged by the gospel. But do you put things first before meeting with the body? Even on holiday, let me take a break. It's what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is if you start kind of letting things in a little bit, it's going to affect you even more later. It's going to challenge you more. It's going to cause you to want to slip a little and soften things more and more. If you don't stand firm now, you're softening your firmness. Your firmness, you're not going to stand firm because you're going to fall. So stand firm. Stand firm in these things. These are ways to protect ourselves. You know, meeting of the body are first and foremost in your schedules. You know, think of meeting with the body there, sacred times. Nothing comes there, divine. This is time where God speaks to us. This is time where God uses us to move in each other's lives. These are sacred times. So, a side note, what are some ways that we can kind of avoid corruption? Some ways that we can stay away from these things? I think that the best way, Cafe Eterno had a riot last night. One of the best ways to stay away from temptation is to stay busy. Believe it or not, is to stay busy, to go and serve, to go help out at a homeless shelter, to grab a brother and to go do something, to invite, maybe you don't live close to London and people aren't close, invite them down. Hey, let's hang out for the day. Let's come down to where I live. Meet my family. You know, whatever. But these are good ways. We got to keep working and building. You know, if we're building for God's kingdom, we got to keep building the wall. We got to keep our hearts in the battle. We need to be devoted to the battle of preaching. We need to be devoted to the battle of teaching each other and discipling each other. So, I think a lot of times do we have this mindset of what is my next adventure? And when you go home, are you thinking, man, this is going to be chill, and I'm just going to be hanging out, my lazy boy, with my remote control and my tea and my beer, and I'm just going to be having a good old time, just relaxing, watching all the football that I can do. What kind of adventure is that? That's not adventure. What are you thinking? What's my next adventure? What's my next initiative? Well, maybe home's been a hard time for you when you go home. Well, here's my next adventure is I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to do things I've never done at home. This is my next initiative. This is my next way to grow. This is my next way to be faithful. I look forward to going to Paris. I don't speak a lick of English, but Laura and I, we're going to go to church here, and we're going to try and share our faith. I don't know. I don't know how to share my faith in French, but if I find someone who speaks some English, there's an open door. Man, that'd be cool to share with someone in France that luckily they know how to speak English, and I'll be able to share with them. Or maybe there's someone that translates, and I can share with someone that doesn't speak English. I don't know. I don't know what God wants to do, but I look, that is a new adventure. I've never been to France as a disciple, but I look forward to seeing what God does. It's going to be an adventure. It's going to be an adventure not knowing how to speak the language, and just, I need help. It's going to help my humility a lot. As David knows, I have very good sense of direction, and I can figure things out and know where to go, but a lot of times I have good sense of direction because I just look at the signs, and I get a sense for where things are, but I'm not going to be able to read those signs. So I need to, hey, help me, where do I go, where do I turn? It's going to be an adventure. I can't wait, but do we look at these next little chapters, do we look at them as adventures? Do we even think of them as being adventures, or is it just, yep, going home, doing my thing, here I go again. No, it's an adventure. Do you see it as an adventure? And how to live out the adventure? How do we live it out? Well, always pray. Always pray. God, I want this to be an adventure. Put something in my path. Put something on my heart. I want this to be something I've never done before. Be obedient to the Scriptures. I'll tell you what, man. Being obedient to the Scriptures, that's an adventure. Look at what Moses did in Deuteronomy. That wandering around in the desert for 40 years doesn't sound fun, but it's an adventure. It's an adventure for sure. Seek first the kingdom and trust God. That is adventure. Be submitted to the Scriptures. It's adventure. Ride on God's strength. Ride on His faith. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 verse 29. It reads, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. We're going to be tempted with times of weakness when we go home, when we go to our separate places. But do we ride on God's strength? Every time we see a man in the Bible ride on God's strength, amazing things happen because they're doing it with faith. And we see these men in the Bible live lives that make no sense. We're like, why are they doing that? But it's an adventure. It's an adventure. My first point was we got to protect ourselves. My second point is protect each other. We got to protect each other. Renew your daily love for the Bible will protect yourself, but it will also protect others. When we lose the fear of God, what kind of people do we become? We become people pleasers. When we're around our friends, when we're around our family, when we're around one another, we need each other. We need discipling. But holidays are coming. We're not going to be around each other. The temptations of people pleasing are going to be there. But the thing is even when we're apart, we're still in the battle together. We're still in the battle together, and we need to be real friends. Real friends think about each other even though they're not seen. In the States, it's not seen, not heard. We can't be not seen, not heard, because we all need each other. We need to protect each other. So we need to be not seen, but heard. We need to be hearing from each other and be in each other's lives, even though we're gone. Because real friends will love enough. Real friends will love enough to keep in touch. Real friends will love enough to say, how is your purity? How is the internet teaching? Are you being corrupted? They will ask the questions that need to be asked. Real friends help each other grow in holiness, not in worldliness. So, hey, how's home? What'd you get for Christmas? Oh, man, it's so cool. I mean, have those conversations. But, man, how's your quiet time? Are you staying strong? Do you need me to come down and visit? How can we help each other be strong? Am I willing to love God, to love God's word and please God, instead of worrying about what other people think or how they will take it? Because that's going to be the temptation is, man, I don't know how they're going to take this. Like, hey, we're sitting at the dinner table. My family doesn't pray, but man, I just want to. Hey, family, can we pray? It's really on my heart. Can we pray to God? You know, simple speaking to God, being an example of how much you love God. Is that in your life? When was the last time you challenged a friend or a brother to be godly? If you're not doing it when we're amongst each other, are you going to do it when we're not amongst each other? When was the last time you were challenged to be godly? Challenged to be holy? If you're not being challenged now with amongst the fellowship, it's not going to happen when you're gone. It's easier to forget when we're not in each other's lives, but we need to remember this each other. This needs to be going on in our lives daily, here, but also when we're away. So I just want, never think yourself better than your peers. Never think, well, it's only 2 weeks. I'll be okay. I'll be all right if people aren't around. I'm mature. I'm strong. I've been a disciple for a long time. I'm good to go. No, that's overconfidence. That's where you're standing firm, but you will suffer. You will fall. You know, don't have the celebrity mentality where the rules don't apply to me. You know, we see that a lot. What? I was watching something. Was it with you, Matt? Winona Ryder?
Yeah.
She, like, Winona Ryder stole, like, 10,000 U.S. dollars of stuff in a store, and it's all caught on camera and everything. For one, why is she stealing? She has millions and millions of dollars. But she steals, like, $10,000 worth of clothes. It's all on camera. They walk out. She walks out. The security walks out. They confront her, and she's like, no, I didn't take anything. What are you talking about? Do you know who I am? It's clear as day. And, you know, then she's silly enough to let this celebrity mentality get to her. And she says not guilty. She pleads not guilty when she goes to court. When you can see her taking stuff and putting it in the bag. Why would you say not guilty? But we can't get to celebrity mentality where the rules don't apply. You know, we will not get away with it. So we can't fall into that celebrity trap. We got to devote ourselves to the work of the kingdom, the work of God, serving God. What does that say? I don't even know what this says. But we can't not stop having our quiet times. If we aren't having them, we're gonna have a rough time. It's gonna be a rough go. We can't stop having discipling times. We can't having times when we confess. We've got to continue to have these times. Go evangelize. Maybe there's no church around, but hey, you want to come 2 hours with me? Let God work. Just let God work. Hey, why don't we have a Bible study? Who knows? Share your faith and. Hey, yeah, I actually work in London. I'm just on holiday here. Who knows? Let God work in your lives. We need to guide each other in going in the right direction, in the God direction, because we need to all be going in the God direction. So that's even on holiday, we need to be doing that. So is my love for God growing more and more? Is my Bible study inspiring me? What insight in the Bible am I putting into practice, especially on holiday? Because I'm sure there's something we're weak at when we're on holiday that we could probably grow in and start putting something into practice that the Bible calls us to. So these are the hearts that we need to have as men. We live in adventure. We need to take initiative. We need to look at these times as adventures. This is a life we're called to live. It's an adventure. It's much harder than living the ways of the world. And that's why it's an adventure. Adventure is hard. It takes sweat. It takes tears. It takes wearing the same clothes every day, and they get ripped and they get faded. And you get my point. An adventure takes work, but it's worth it in the end. And so I really want to encourage you on holidays, like, let's look at it as adventure. Do new things. Take initiatives. Protect yourselves, but just also be considerate of others. Just think of others and think of the other interests. Think of other people and their interests above our own, and let's protect each other as well. So that's what I wanted to share tonight, guys. So.